SBS தமிழ்.
We have Grace Thangasamy from My Blue Sky with us in the studio. Greetings, Grace.
Thank you for having me.
For the benefit of our audience, can you introduce yourself as to your background and what you do?
Yes. Well, and I work for an organization called Anti-Slavery Australia, which is a legal center that sits within the University of Technology, Sydney. And for over a decade, we've provided legal services and migration services to men, women, and children who have been trafficked or enslaved or put in slavery-like situations here in Australia. In particular, my service that I work on, My Blue Sky, focuses in on providing legal services and referral assistance to people who are at risk of or in what we would call forced marriages.
How big is that an issue?
It's actually an emerging issue, not because it isn't a practice that's existed for many centuries, but because it was only criminalised by the Australian government in 2013. And forced marriage is effectively a marriage that occurs when one of the parties to the marriage doesn't give their free and full consent to the marriage. We mean that the consent was brought about by coercion, by threats, by deception. And a lot of people would also suggest an effect of the marriage ceremony itself isn't understood. If, for example, you have mental capacity issues or you are too young, you're a child, you're unable to understand what is happening when the ceremony actually takes place.
How big a role culture plays in that?
A lot of our clients feel that the coercion or the threats, the deception, do come with a specific cultural overlay at times. There'll be a great emphasis on the role in looking after the family, ensuring that family honour is upheld, that shame is not brought upon certain members of the family. So these can be very specific threats that are made in that cultural context. But we've really found that across many cultures and across many countries, forced marriage is an issue in different forms. So, for example, clients of ours come from over 24 different countries and speak various languages. We see forced marriage across the world in cases, for example, in China, where girls are sourced from the Mekong countries around there and forced into marriages with men in China because there's a shortage of women there. We see forced marriages in West Africa, often along with practices of FGC, which is female genital cutting or mutilation, and can be seen as a sort of rite of passage that a girl must pass through at a very young age.
And those practices from those countries have come to Australia? Is that what you found?
We found that generally, even though it's difficult to kind of nail down the issue at the moment because there's no really systematic research that's been done on forced marriage here in Australia, we found that it's generally a migrant issue. Second generation migrant families who might wish to use marriage as a way to ensure conformity within the family and to bring someone over from their country of origin, often a relation or a community member that the family is familiar with through different connections, and as a way of enforcing a way of life which most family members feel is valuable and want to continue. And often this can happen when a child or a young person feels that they might be reaching a certain stage in their studies or reaching a certain stage in their life story where they want to perhaps pursue a different path, whether it be through study or through choosing a different partner that might not be suitable to their family or their parents' desires, and often the marriage will be used then. There's also, in some cases, a migration element to it as well, an incentive that's given to the families to bring someone over from conflict, war-torn situations overseas, and the marriage is seen as essential for doing so too. Last year, from 2017 to 2018, the AFP, or the Australian Federal Police, received around 60 referrals of forced marriage cases across Australia. But we believe that number is not reflective of the number of forced marriages that are occurring or that people are at risk of. And that number has steadily grown since 2013, where there was 11 cases reported. Then it went up to 33 the next financial year. Then it went up as high as 69. And now
that's an exponential growth.
It absolutely is.
Is it because of the criminalization of forced marriage that the number is increasing?
Well, we would like to think that perhaps awareness that it is a crime is growing, yes. And so criminalization, as you said, in 2013, and awareness that it is a crime means that hopefully more reports are coming through to the Australian Federal Police. However, we are unsure as to whether or not they will continue to grow in the future. We're hoping that with more community education and awareness, it will, as people begin to identify in their own communities and say pushing or pressuring someone and going to extreme a psychological, physical abuse to push someone into a marriage is actually something that is not legal here in Australia.
How do people approach you? How do they identify your services?
So we have a website called mybluesky.org.au, and that offers people three ways to contact us. They can call us on a hotline, they can email us, or they can text us, and they can actually contact us confidentially through the site. Many of our clients have often been under an extreme amount of surveillance when they contact us, often because family might suspect that they will try and get out of the marriage that has been set up for them and monitor things like their phone, their email addresses, and any sites that they visit. So there's actually a confidential locker room on the site itself where you can create your own password and username, and we can communicate through the site with you, and no notifications go to any other device that you might have or account.
Are more people approaching you than the AFP or the other way?
Last year, for example, in 2017, our legal service received 48 inquiries about forced marriage, and that was one-off advices that we provided, or it was continuing clients who are with us now that we're continuing to support through their situation. We don't think that there is going to be any decrease in the number of reports or people who are coming to us, but we are seeing definitely an increase as people grow aware of the issue. We're seeing an increase in community organisations using us to help them navigate an issue that they're seeing in their own community. So they're a social worker or a teacher, a counsellor might call us and say, I have this case. I'm not quite sure what to do with it. It looks a little bit like this. Can you talk me through it? And what are the things I need to be looking out for? And how can I keep this person safe?
This is SBS Tamil, broadcasting in Tamil throughout Australia. We are talking to Grace Thangasamy of My Blue Sky about the work they do to eradicate forced marriages. Without disclosing any names or location, can you share the worst case that you had to deal with?
I guess one of the cases that plays on my mind is a case that I had experience with in my first week when I started this job at My Blue Sky. It was a girl who had contacted us through the hotline, so she had actually called up herself. She was 18 years old, and she had and her family had come from a different country overseas and settled here in Australia. And she had been told that she would be married to her cousin and had been forced to talk over the phone repeatedly with him and text message him, things like that, all in preparation in the lead up to a trip overseas back to her home country in order to meet him and marry him and then sponsor him back here to Australia. This was something that she did not want at all. She wanted to continue her studies, move on to university. She wanted to choose her own partner. But her family basically said, we are missing a parent now. So her father had recently died. We need someone to look after the family. Your mother is sick. She will get sicker if you don't do this. And there was a lot of other family pressure put on her to basically say, the family is relying and counting on you to do
this. So how old was this girl? She was at uni or at
school? She was 18. So she had just finished school. And a lot of our clients at different stages of their schooling, so 16 and 18 being quite common, this is when they start hearing talk intensify of marrying someone. So she came to us and we talked to her several times over the phone, and then she came in and we explained to her a lot about the referral pathways, that she could go to the Australian Federal Police, that we could help facilitate communication about that, that she could get access to a very intensive support program that the Australian government funds through Red Cross to help her start a new life and escape from what could be an unsafe situation at home. And she said she understood all that. But she said to us that there was a girl that she had known in her community, the only girl that she had known in her community who had tried to escape from a similar arranged marriage. And everybody in the community basically had shamed and taken herself out of that community. And she was basically ostracized by her decision not to marry and to leave the home and held up as an example in the rest of the community for what happens when things go wrong and you don't do what your parents tell you to do. Anyway, she ended up talking to us about the situation and said to me very specifically, Grace, I hear what you're saying. I want the support, but I don't know who will be with me in 3, 5, 10 years time when people like the Australian Federal Police or maybe the Red Cross will have finished all they can do to support me. Who will be there when I want a community and a group and a family? No one. And that was the last time we saw her. She came in once. We tried to contact her a number of times afterwards, but she just decided that she needed to do this because she felt like there were no other options. And I think that that image, it's not a particularly violent one, but it haunts me because it makes me think people stay in a situation like that because they feel there is no other option for them. And it always reminds me when we speak to clients that the Australian law does give them that protection and should give them that confidence that they can exert those choices. But how to navigate the community, navigate the family relationships and the fallout afterwards is always going to be difficult.
How about sharing a success story?
Well, we've got a lovely one that Jennifer, my director, was involved in about Selma, and that's not her real name, but she was from West Africa and told that she was going to go on a trip to Disneyland, but unfortunately was taken back to her country of origin by her parents and asked to marry someone that she didn't know and she didn't want to marry when she was over there. They basically told her she would not be able to return if she did not get married. She was under 18, so she was a child, and she managed to contact us through My Blue Sky. And we arranged for her to get some emergency travel documents because all her travel documents and her phone, etc., had been taken off her. She had nowhere to contact anyone, no money to travel anywhere. And there were also lots of community partners that we worked with at that time who sponsored her and helped her get a flight home. And when she came back, her parents the day after immediately apologized to her and just said, this was wrong. This was a mistake for us to do this. And now she's at university studying psychology, actually embracing an educational pathway that makes her feel confident. So I think that's a success story, I guess, in our eyes. Someone back on the path that they've chosen, they're confident about it, and also protected from further exploitation.
We talked about My Blue Sky.
Mm.
You mentioned Anti-Slavery Australia. Mm. What kind of work do you do?
So Anti-Slavery Australia looks after quite a few clients who have been trafficked or exploited here in Australia. And that might look like forced labor. It might look like servitude. And we provide legal migration services to them. Now, this is also an issue that's sort of underreported in Australia. I can give you some statistics to the AFP in contrast, for example, to forced marriage. But there was about 19 reports of labor exploitation last financial year. To the AFP trafficking, there were 15 reports. For sexual exploitation, there was 19. What this basically looks like, a common scenario might be that someone is brought in to help in a restaurant or to help in the home, to work under conditions that they weren't expecting, they weren't told about. Sometimes there is a debt to bring them out in the first place that they are forced to return and repay, but interest keeps accumulating on it. And obviously the costs of keeping them in the home or at the restaurant or place of work keeps accumulating as well. So the debt ever increases as they try and pay it off when they're here. Often threats can be made to hurt and harm their family back at home if they go to the authorities. Their travel documents are often taken off them as well, so they have no control of that. And it's really about restricting their freedom when they come. So making them work long, long hours without proper compensation for the work that they do in accordance with the law. Not letting them leave the place of work by force of threat or some other psychological or emotional violence. And often they're told lies about how the Australian authorities will treat them. These are some of the situations that Anti-Slavery Australia is dealing with generally and hoping to fight against.
We had a case of a family exploiting a domestic help that they had brought from their home country with a Tamil background, by the way. So I wonder how much you can share about how big this issue is.
Actually, I think Jennifer Byrne, our director at Anti-Slavery Australia, would be an amazing person to ask about that because she's kind of got this wide purview and sort of over a decade's worth of knowledge and experience of what that problem looks like here in Australia. And my focus has been on forced marriage. And I think she would be able to give an amazing account of how we've progressed and how we know about the shape of the issue now, what we're doing about it, and specific cases as well. So maybe she might be a better person to chat.
I think we'll contact Jennifer on that. If our audience want to get to know more about what My Blue Sky does or how to contact you, how can they get in touch with you?
So if you go to the website mybluesky.org.au, you'll see there's actually a Tamil section on the home screen first page if you would like to read. There's also a Facebook account under My Blue Sky Future and an Instagram account as well. And you can contact us through the contact form or the email text number there, and we can get in contact with you to provide information. We do training sessions as well, so we could come to your community organization or to your community event to talk about marriage generally or the law around consent generally as well. And we'll also be happy to take any questions that you might have about a particular case or something that you're looking at. And we deal with those confidentially, obviously, and help guide people's understanding about what they might need to do and any safety planning that might need to come out of that as well.
Thank you, Grace, for coming all the way to the studio and giving us this opportunity to talk to you. I think you're doing a wonderful service. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be here.
இதை போன்ற இன்னும் பல நிகழ்ச்சிகளை செவிமடுக்க sbs.com.au/tamil